The creek bed was nearly dry, a rivulet with barely a stir. 30 feet beneath the western ridge, 10 feet east of where the cool water kissed the muddy western bank, a glint of silver reflected skyward from a shallow, slow-swirling cranny. It was a warm summer day in 2014, Anno Domini, A.D., a year of reflection and reconciliation. At high noon, a beacon of sunlight danced through the leaves of a sweet gum tree. A focused ray silhouetted an object in the water below. Up closer, it appeared more like gold. Perhaps it was gold. Just a few miles to the southeast, gold was discovered in another rocky creek bed. That find led to the formation of the first commercial gold mine in the United States. The mine produced enough ore to prompt the establishment of a mint in the neighboring city of Charlotte, North Carolina. It was not long after the founding of the new country, and not long before a conflict that would test the foundation of that republic. To this day, children at heart from near and far continue to sift with metal pans for nuggets of gold at the Reed Gold Mine. Two books, Golden Promise in the Piedmont, The Story of John Reed's Mine, and The Carolina Gold Rush, describe in some detail how the mine came into being. They also consider the impact it had on the local economy and the emergence of a growing national obsession. The object shimmering in the water demanded attention. A rope was anchored to a maple tree, wound 3 times around the trunk. It stretched another 50 feet, more than sufficient to lower to the edge below and halfway to the eastern bank. Dust plumes rose as boot-clad feet pressed into the parched brown mud and dull orange clay. The feet then made a cautious descent to the water. Above the surface, a cylindrical object stood guard. It was about 3 inches high, with a diameter not much greater than that of a Roman denarius. It was not gold nor silver, but it was some sort of metal. Beneath the surface, 10 tadpoles circled about their temporary aquatic home. With a gentle tug, the submerged portion of the object began to appear, releasing a cloud of silt. The amphibians scattered to each of 4 points on a compass. They would assume terrestrial bodies on land based north, southeast, southwest, and west of the creek. It was a bayonet. Lifted gently, the blade glistened inch by inch, with nearly another 20 added to the 3 above the surface. It slowly rose from the watery grave that held it captive for so long. Intense curiosity overcame disappointment when an old man named James was reminded that all that glitters is not gold. How long had it been there, or how it got there, was anyone's speculation. Most likely it hailed from the War of Northern Aggression or the War of Southern Secession. The color of the uniform labeled the cause. Future historians would refer to it as the Civil War. The bayonet might have been manufactured in North Carolina. A USA or CSA label could have been engraved in the blade, incidental to the year it was forged. It might have been crafted in England and left in the mud by a soldier in the service of King George III 2 generations earlier. Perhaps it had been polished in Germany, Italy, or Japan, and surrendered to time by a veteran returning to his home a century later. Years and corrosion had wiped clean any evidence of origin. There might be gold hidden in the rock bed, he thought, recalling his father's words when they visited a California gold mine and ghost town. That was almost 6 decades prior to the descent into this creek. Often, when you find gold, a whip, sword, or bayonet may be nearby. The moment that the tip of the bayonet touched the summer air, a forceful gust of wind caught the uppermost boughs of a strand of southern pine. It filtered through 750,000 green pine-scented needles, then through 55,000 bitternut hickory leaves. Gaining additional voice as it traveled along the forest floor, it then became a gentle wisp that drifted to the west. She brought moist refreshment to the parched path, revealing her name in the echo of the breeze.